Tonight, I'd like to invite you back over to the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 24. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 24. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 24 reads this way. It says, "Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before you, thanking you, Lord, again for your mercy and your grace and your goodness. And Lord, the desire that you have to open up our hearts and minds to understand you and your grace and what you've given to us in salvation in a better way. And Lord, that we might truly walk closer to you day by day. And Lord, that we might experience you and be able to testify and be a witness to a lost and dying world of your great grace. And so, Lord, we ask your blessing on your word tonight. We ask your blessing on us, that you might open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. Fill us and guide us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and unite us, Lord, in your grace and in your mercy, and build Northwood Baptist Church for your honor and glory. Bless all of your churches, but we ask specifically that you would build this church, Lord, for your honor and glory, and that we might see souls saved, baptized, and discipled for your honor and glory. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we want to look at, the title of the message is simply, "Continue in the Son and in the Father." Continue in the Son and in the Father. And that's the Lord's will for the life of every believer. He wants us to continue walking towards Him, closer to Him, and that He might be able to bless us. And so He mentions that because we are prone to wander, as the song says. We are prone to drift away, and the Lord knows that. And so He's given to us His instructions, His word, that we might hear from Him and understand and be led by His love and His grace in our lives. Listen, the Lord just wants to draw us closer to Himself. Isn't that amazing? He loves us so much that He wants us to draw nearer to Him. He is the most important person ever. How else can you say it? He's better than anybody could have ever been. Listen, God is supremely above the most important person that we might think ever lived. If I ever had the opportunity to meet this person, even if they were in history, better than all these people that have lived in history is the God who created each and every one of us and has given to us eternal life. And so He says, I want you to continue in the Son and in the Father. And so tonight we want to consider the importance of continuing and abiding in the Son and in the Father. And we're just going to look at two thoughts tonight. We're going to pick up in verse 18 here. And we're going to look at apostates who deny the true deity of Christ. And this is something that God wants us to guard against. The first thing He wanted us to do is to make sure that we're abiding in Him. Remember that this morning? And He also wanted us to know that we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, that will forgive us when we sin. But then He also wanted us to understand the importance of keeping the commandments of God. And we understand that is to guard the commandments of God. In other words, we don't want to change them to fit us. That's not the way it works. We don't want to bend God's word to fit us. We want to bend ourselves. We want to yield ourselves. We want to submit ourselves. We want to humble ourselves. We want to present ourselves to God to do with as He wills in our life. Isn't that the truth? And so, Lord, we want to give ourselves to You that You might have full reign and freedom to use us as You will, as You have created us for. Do you know that God does not force Himself upon anybody? He says, come, if you will, right? He says, come. The invitation's given. The choice is ours, isn't it? The choice is ours. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You know why He does that? Because He's a God of love. He is a God of love. There's no other God like Him. He is a God of mercy. He is a God who will give us everything that we need because He knows that without Him we have nothing. We don't have anything, but He wants us to be acceptable before the one and only true God. Do you know that there's only one God? I know you know that. But there's a lot of people out there that are confused that think that, oh no, it doesn't matter what God you serve as long as you believe in God. That's not the truth. Because every other God is a fiction. They're fake. They're not real. And so I'm glad that we know the one true God. There's only one that spoke everything into being, including us. And he says to us, come to me and continue in my love and grow in my love and experience me in a powerful way. And then share that as my ambassador with a lost and dying world that has the greatest need, just like we did before we knew the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he says, in the midst of all of that, as we keep his commandments, and that, of course, is the understanding of guarding them, not changing them, then he says something else happens. He says, there are apostates. There are those who deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, be careful about them. Notice what he says here in verse 18. He says, little children, again, the term of endearment, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Man, listen, do you know there was a fellow called Jonah in the Bible? And he took to traveling. You know how he traveled? On a sailboat, a big old sailboat. Isn't that amazing? And do you know that Paul took missionary journeys? Do you know how he traveled? He traveled on a sailboat. And do you know that when the pilgrims came in the 1600s, do you know how they traveled? On a sailboat. Amen? Do you know in the war of 1812, do you know what kind of boats they used? They didn't have the steamship yet, did they? No, it was sailboat. But all of a sudden, for thousands of years, and now all of a sudden, man, we can travel like that. Do you know, not physically, but virtually, we can be on the other side of the world by the computer. Do you know the book of Daniel says that in the end days, people will be traveling to and fro? And knowledge will be increased? I dare say, my goodness, if we're not living in the end days, I don't know how much more clearer it could be. But we are on the horizon of the Lord's return. And God would have us to keep that in our hearts and minds, because we're getting ready to face our God. And the most important thing that you and I can and will ever do is seek the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our soul. Now, I want you to know that God wants us to occupy until he comes. So that means he wants us to live life, but he wants us to pursue him while we are occupying. Amen? That we might send his light into every realm of our lives that we occupy, that we might be led by the Spirit of God and the light of God to shine into a dark and dying world, that they also might have the same eternal life that God has blessed us with. Right? God says, I didn't save you to hide your light. You know the little song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine? God wants us to shine as little as we might think our light is, and it might be little in us, but it's big in God, amen? And so he says, I want you to know something, that as we realize that we're in the end days, and the last time, notice what he says in verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now he's talking about apostates. He's not talking about people moving and things of that nature, but he's talking about people that are saying, you know what, I don't believe what you're preaching, amen? I don't agree with that, and they'll try to change our thinking, and they'll try to divert us from the deity of Christ. Now, we haven't seen that here, per se, but listen, God is saying this is taking place. There are people that are in opposition, not just to the Lord Jesus Christ, but to the deity, to the fact that he is God incarnate, that came in the flesh, died on the cross, shed his blood, and rose again, and is forever in the heavens. Amen? In heaven. And so and he's going to come again. And he's going to come again. And by the way, listen, he has moved in the hearts of the Hebrew people to bring them back to their land. And that hadn't happened since for over 2,000 years that God had removed them, or close to 2,000 years, God had removed them, scattered them all over the world, and has brought them back. Boy, if we aren't living in the end times, I don't know what more we need to know that, listen, the Lord is on the horizon of his return. And may we be found faithful and abiding and continuing in the Son and in the Father. So he says, I want you to know this is going to happen because they didn't belong with us. But verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Isn't that good? God says, you and I have personally been given an unction, right? That is an inward understanding. That means, listen, can you lose your salvation? How do you know that? The Holy Spirit. It's an unction from God. And listen, you can go back to the time and place where you trusted the Lord as your Savior, and you knew that he had forgiven you of your sins. How do you know that? There is an unction from God that is given. And notice what he says here. He says, verse 21, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth. He says, I know you know the truth, but notice, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. He's saying, I want to reaffirm. I want you to be established. I want you to continue in the truth. And by the way, listen, you've heard this before, and of course things have changed now, but years ago, back in the 70s, the way that they would train people to pick up counterfeit bills is to expose them to the real McCoy, to the real thing. And so this way they knew how it felt, they knew what it looked like. The second they touched something that was a counterfeit, they would know it. And so likewise also, God wants us to be immersed with the truth, that we might not be deceived, and that is because we know the truth. God says, I want you to be even more established in the truth, and the closer we draw to the truth, the more we'll want to tell other people about it. And so he says, I want you to know because you know the truth, I want you to be reaffirmed. And then he says this in verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he's the Messiah. Did you hear that? Listen, I didn't say that, God said it. If somebody denies the Lord Jesus Christ as being the Messiah, they're a liar. It's just that simple. Now, that doesn't mean that we should go, oh, you're a liar, and point our finger at them. Just know, listen, that with all kindness, with all due respect, that's not the truth. And you can put your foot down, but that's not the truth. We know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world because he's forgiven us of our sins. Tell me, what other being that has ever lived on planet Earth can forgive us of our sins and pay for them and give us his righteousness? Every other religion is by works, or they believe something even crazy. Why would you believe a faith that says you should do good, but then after your life, you're gone. That's it. You're over. What's the point in doing good? At least with some religions that aren't true, they say, well, you won't come back as a cockroach, right? But here's the truth. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. That's it. That's the way it works. There's no coming back as far as living another life. I know there are exceptions in the Bible, but here's the thing. Listen, the rule is when we leave this life, that's it. We will stand before the Lord. There are a few exceptions in the scriptures, like Lazarus, but he came and he didn't live a new life. He got his old life back, which, by the way, was a testimony to the grace of God and to the work and to the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Jews hated that to such a point that neglected the Lord and rejected the Lord that they wanted to kill him too. Because of him, many people believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what did he do? Man, he didn't do anything. He received the life back that was taken from him, and God let him go. And do you know God wants us to have his life, and he wants us to let us go for his honor and glory into the world, that many might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ because of what God is doing to us. And so, as we look at this, again, he says in verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. That's powerful. There's a lot of people that believe in God, but they don't believe in the Son. And specifically that he is the God-man that came to pay for our sins. I hate to say, there's a lot of people that they say they believe in Christ, but they believe he was a created being. They are antichrist. They might not understand that, but the Bible says they are wrong. And so we need to be careful about that. And in the love of the Lord, share with them, hey, listen, that's not what the Bible teaches. And so, whosoever, verse 23, denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. That's a good thing, isn't it? Verse 24, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. I want to continue in the Son and in the Father. Why would I go anywhere else? Where is there hope anywhere else? Can you go? And I'm not bashing faiths, but does Allah have any hope? Does Buddha have any hope? Does Hare Krishna have any hope? My goodness, listen, they do some crazy things, and yet there's no hope. They are looking to their goodness. You know what they don't understand? There is none good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So close and yet so far. So close, and they're not even close, to be truthful. They're very far away from the Lord. And so God has given us this unction and this understanding to seek him. And God wants us to identify with the truth. And he wants us to understand what's a lie. That we're careful not to just... Listen, you know that you and I can do harm to say this idea? They're brothers and sisters in Christ. And if they believe you can lose your salvation, I'm sorry, I don't think so. They're not of the same family if they can lose their salvation, are they? And by the way, listen, if you have to do something for your salvation, are they of the same family? Because what I think, if I'm not mistaken, when Jesus said, it is finished, he didn't need our help. In fact, he says, don't touch it. It's finished. And it pleased the Father. And so there's a lot of people out there that profess to, they call themselves Christians. And yet they believe something that is not the truth. Now, I'm not trying to be unkind, but I'm saying if we call them brothers and sisters in Christ, we are hiding the light of God instead of telling them, listen, you're not believing the truth. We don't do them any favors to send them on their way and then get to the end of life and stand before God condemned and undone. What favor would we do for them to let them walk down and not say to them, listen, Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the truth, the life, and the way. No man comes unto the Father but through him, and that's it. If you're trying to come some other way, you've got the wrong Jesus, amen? And there are other Jesuses out there, but there's only one Son of God. And so we want to be careful that we're holding on to the truth and that we're not being deceived as a saved child of God. Again, we were looking at this morning in the book of Galatians in Sunday school class how Paul said, I'm afraid of you. He said, who's bewitched you that you should believe a lie, that you would sell out the truth for this work salvation that will profit you nothing. They were saved. They were bought into. They bought into this lie, and then Paul had to tell them, the gospel of Christ, the grace of God, the grace of the Lord has no effect on you. It will profit you nothing. And so we do a disservice to mislead people to believe things that will not profit them. There is only one truth that will profit everybody. And it's in the Bible. Amen? It's in the Word of God that speaks about the Son of God who came and died and took our place to give us eternal life through His righteousness, not ours. There's only one truth. And we can praise the Lord for that, right? All right, let's finish up here and then notice what it says here. He says also in verse 24, let that therefore, the truth, abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. So we need to make sure that we are continuing to seek the truth and stay in it. Verse 25, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. God will see to it. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So there are seducers out there. There are. So what, is that what the Bible said? I'm writing these things concerning those that would seduce you. And by the way, if it was happening in the first century, could it possibly be happening today? Do you think maybe there's more seduction happening today than ever before? Listen, there are things that are biding for our times, and hear me clearly on this, that are not really sinful. The only sinfulness is they take our time away from God. They take our time away from the Lord. We need to guard against that. The seduction, of course, is to be misled. But let me ask you, what is the difference if it robs us of our time and we don't have any communion or very little communion with our Savior? When I get around with family, I like to talk to family. Don't you? That has become more of a challenge in this day and age than ever before. We are so technologically involved. I think the devil enjoys that distraction. And by the way, it's not bad things. They are useful things. But I think we're getting things out of whack here a little bit. Now we're getting into AI. Oh my. We're getting into all kinds of things. And I'm not saying that those things are wrong unless they keep us from our God. That's what we have to guard against. Listen, make sure that you have your time with the Lord. How much do you need the Lord? Do you need him every day? I would dare say it would be important for us to spend time with the Lord every day. You decide. Lord, how much time do I need to spend with you today? Lord, I want to spend time with you. In fact, Lord, I don't know that I really should ask that kind of a question because I would think I look forward to spending time with you instead of looking forward to other things, right? That I would look forward to. The greatest thing that I would look forward to, I would hope and pray would be time with my God. Don't you think that would be the right place? Instead of looking forward, I'm not saying that there aren't other things that we could look for. Please don't misunderstand me in that. But I think the devil is hard at work because he knows his time is short. Man, things can change like that, can't they? And so we can be standing before the Lord like that. And what will our life be before the Lord? You know what it will be? What it is today, right now. What we're doing right now. And every day until we see him, that's what it will be. So if I say that to say, well, you know what? Next year is going to be a better year. Not if it isn't this year. Next year, I'm going to do more for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not if it's not today, right? It just doesn't change unless we desire to make that change. God, and by the way, God, I need you to make that change in my life. I want you to make that change. I want you to put it in my heart that you are number one in my life. I want you to give me that love. Do you think God would answer that kind of a prayer? Do you think that pleases the Lord and honors him? Do you know God says he'll honor those that honor him? If you'll call on me, he says, I'll answer you. That's a good request, don't you think? And not because we can all say God is worthy of our love. And so he says, again in verse 25, and this is the promise that he had promised, even eternal life. These things, verse 26, have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Listen, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Isn't that good? Here's what he's saying. Not that we don't need to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ, but you don't have, if you're saved, you don't have to have anybody tell you about salvation, do you? If you're saved, you don't even have to have anybody tell you about the love that God has for you. Who's told you about that? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God that's in us. The one that has given to us. We've been indwelt with the Holy Spirit and anointed by God. It's been put in us to know. We know where the truth is at, do we not? Amen. That's a good thing. Listen, nobody has to tell us where the truth is at. We couldn't always say that. But now we can say we know where the truth is at. Why? Because God has revealed it to us. And when God opens up our eyes and gives us spiritual sight, wow, what a blessing. What a privilege we've been given. And so he says, abide in him. And then notice verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Is that not more true today than ever before? You know what God is saying? Get ready, because I'm coming. Do you know this was true in every generation? Because every generation lived their life and left this life, and at the end of life, they said, that was short. And the Lord came for them in a different way, not by the rapture, not by his second return, but by the end of life, they ended up before him. And it's a good thing, isn't it? Because the best for the believer, isn't that a good truth, is yet to come. Look at all this world, and it's not even comparable to the things that God has in store for us. He even says the difficulties that we have experienced on this side of eternity, you won't even be able to compare those to the good things that God has in store for us that haven't even entered into our minds. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. Can you believe God? Amen. There's no lie in him. That is the truth. That is the truth. And we will say, you know, I believed you. I'm convinced of this. We will say, Lord, I believed you said it hasn't entered into my mind. And I believe it that you said that all the sufferings that we're to experience on this side of eternity won't be compared to the good things that you have in store for us in heaven. But when we get there, we're going to say, man, this is even better than I could have ever even imagined. Isn't that amazing? And we have that to look forward to. And then verse 29, last verse, if you know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Amen. Isn't that good? You know what, Lord? I want to walk in your righteousness. Do you want to walk in the Lord's righteousness? You know how that happens? We ask him. Isn't that good? Yeah. Is that the will of God, to walk in his righteousness? We just read it right there. And here's the truth. I need the Lord to walk in his righteousness. I am bent, you know? You ever have a car that's out of alignment? You let go of the wheel and it pulls, right? We that's called the flesh in our lives, isn't it? If you let go of the wheel, and that's the Holy Spirit, there's only one way you're going to go, and it's going to pull to the flesh. And so, Lord, I need to seek you and the leadership of your Spirit that I won't pull to the left, because that's what I'll do. And so, Lord, I need you every day, and that you might call upon me to seek you, that you might put it in my heart to call upon you and to seek you with all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my mind to the glory of God. So tonight, God says, continue in the Son and in the Father. And that's an invitation, isn't it? And he says, if you'll call, I'm going to answer, and I'll say, come. Amen? Isn't that good? Amen. Come and follow me. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness to each and every one of us. The love that you have for us is just unmeasurable, and just what a blessing, Lord, of your great faithfulness to us. We ask that you would build Northwood Baptist Church for your honor and glory, Lord, that you might fill us with your Spirit, and Lord, that we might call upon you every day and be reminded by your mercy and grace to walk in your ways, and Lord, that we would be so impressed with what you do in our lives that we'll want to tell others. Bless the invitation, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.